Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 79 of season 3 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Brian Lockhart of Hamilton Shot by Shot. Welcome back to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me back, but I hope by the end of this I'm not feeling unappreciated.
Yeah, you never know. You might be covered in glass. Be careful about
Glass.
that.
Yeah.
Glass. So yesterday we ended the minute with John and Al beginning to talk. John, according to the script, being concerned about that they were able to get the wounded out, but according to the movie, he just was he wants to know the situation downstairs. And so at this point, Al continues with his conversation, and he goes, "Ah." And so minute 79 begins with Al talking about spotters and ends with John beginning to respond to Al's question. So basically, Al continues with the conversation and says, "Our spotters say you got two with that blast." So, first of all, I find it really interesting that they're saying that the spotters, now, if they have spotters, I'm assuming they therefore have snipers. So, what good are spotters if you're not going to use them as snipers also?
Well,
You're in
they
the
must.
middle of this conflict. It's not a question of you don't need to be concerned that you're going to piss off the bad guys. I mean, they're in the process of shooting missiles at an RV. If you can see them, you should be shooting them.
Yeah, but they still got the hostages inside, so maybe they're worried if they take out a terrorist, in that manner, now the hostages are fair game, I guess, maybe.
I don't know, but on the other hand, they want to try and stop this atrocity from continuing
True.
for their own men. I mean,
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying about the hostages. That's definitely true. But I can live with that. 20, 25%, right? Isn't that what Johnson talks about? So, and at this point, while Al and John are talking, we see in the background Dwayne T. Robinson. Getting he notices that Al's on the radio, and he rushes over there very upset and goes, "Is that him? Is that him?" So Al goes, "Yes, sir. Give me that." And he grabs the radio and he talks in and says, "You listen to me, mister. I don't know who in the hell you think you are or what you're doing, but you just destroyed a building. Now, we do not want your help. Is that clear? We don't want your help. I've got 100 people down here. And they're covered in glass. Glass? Who gives a about glass? What the is this?"
Another
And the
good
response
delivery.
is, "Yeah, this is Deputy Chief of Police Dwayne T. Robinson, and I'm in charge of the situation." "Oh, you're in charge. Well, I got some bad news for you, Dwayne. From up here, it doesn't look like you're in charge of jack shit. You listen to me, you little asshole. I'm not the one who just cut buck on national TV, Dwayne." And then we get a quick shot of Argyle listening and laughing his ass off at this. And John goes, "Now you listen to me, jerk off. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Quit being part of the problem and put the other guy back on." So this is a great minute of dialogue between the two of these characters, because we're hearing John say everything that we wanted to say to Robinson throughout. We're seeing how Robinson is acting, we're seeing how he's responding to everything going on, and we really just want John to say what, act like himself and say what we want him to say. And he does a great job of it.
Yeah, he's Bruce Willis does great with the put upon this, and they're like, who the hell is this guy? Who the hell is he? Like, again, he's part of the problem. He's not, he's not helping anything. He's like, and John's all alone, and it's just funny how well Bruce Willis just conveys his frustration. I'm like, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Right, for sure. And I mean, also, again, he's speaking his mind. But I mean, for me, it surprised me that by calling him an that's what really set John off. up before then, didn't really, bother him or anything like that. So, I mean, one of the things that John says is he says, "You don't know jack shit." So, what do you know about the phrase jack
I know jack shit about jack shit.
shit? So basically, it's a phrase for lack of anything, or lack of anything of value, or nothing, or something like that. Basically, it's sometimes referred to as jack squat, jack all, and what it said is it's something equivalent to nothing. If you look at it from a grammatical perspective, so the phrase jack is remarkable because its absence and presence are identical. Right, it's usually it can be used with or without a negative, and it still works, meaning that you could say you know jack shit, you don't know jack shit, and it means the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and some one of the best uses of that was from Army of Darkness, and he goes, you're in charge of Jack and shit, and Jack just left town.
I mean, I used to always play the I remember in the early days of computers in the mid 90s. Of personal computers, they had a game called You Don't Know Jack, which was like a trivia
Yeah, it
game.
was
And I
fun.
remember I had the I used to play the trivia one about movies, about that,
Yep.
but You Don't Know Jack movies. So the term Jack works well here. All right. Now, John also says that I'm not the one who just got butt on national TV. Now, how does John know that this is on national TV?
You'd have to assume a situation like this is being covered. And I mean, I don't know if we see him see the media, but he has been looking down out the window,
He's 30 floors up. He'll see flashing lights, but he can't like see
He's
power.
gotta,
He
yeah,
doesn't
he's gotta
know.
assume that. I mean, because the news vans, they have the satellite, things that go up and all that. He's probably got some idea. I mean, that they're covering it. This is a big thing, That's my guess. That's my
Right.
guess.
No, that's true. But again, we know that it's right now. They've only just released it to local. They haven't even gotten to national yet. By the way that they're doing it, you have Gail Wallins, who's the local anchor woman, who's talking about it. So I don't know. And I love how they splice Argyle into the middle of this. Like, he doesn't even need to be there, and they don't even show him like listening beforehand. You wait until the point where he talks about the fact that where John gives his response back, where he says, "I'm not the one who just got butt on national TV," and like you see Argyle's eyes bulge out of his face, out of his head, as he's listening to it, and it's just really, really funny to see. And I've mentioned this numerous times. I think that one of the things with Argyle is that the reason they keep showing him is to remind us that he's there, because otherwise we would completely
Yeah,
forget
by
that
the
he's there.
yeah, because yeah, he yeah, it's just because he comes up again, obviously.
Because he comes up, they need him for the end of the movie, but he has very little to do throughout the movie. So they have to interject him every so often. And he's sitting there, and the way that he cheers on John. He starts clapping his hands together, and does I guess a pseudo fist bump as he's doing that also. So it's just pretty funny looking at the way that he's reacting here to this whole situation. And then at this point, we have Robinson gets pretty upset and just gives the mic back to Powell, and he walks away. And then Powell takes the radio and goes, "Hey Roy, how you feeling?" And John's response is
Pretty f***ing
pretty
unappreciated,
f***ing
Dale.
un. He goes, "Pretty f***ing un," and then it
Oh,
gets
that's
cut off
right. You're right. Yeah, it
by the minute.
does get cut off, doesn't
You're gonna have to wait tomorrow till tomorrow to hear the rest of that
it?
line. But it's again, it's funny that this is a party line. Everyone's listening to everything that's being said here. And John knows it, and Al knows it, but he still John has no problem saying his mind to Robinson. So that's actually all I have for this minute before we get to the script. Do you have anything else you want to say about this?
you know, other than the fact that I love the back and forth with, you know, Dwayne T. Robinson and John McClane, really nothing. I mean, it's just a good dialogue minute, like you said.
Yeah. So the script is slightly different in the dialogue itself. So I know it might be a little bit repetitious, but I'm still going to reread some of the stuff that's here. You know, even though some of it's similar and some of it's not. So what it says here is that he mentions him about the spotters. He says, you got two with the blast. And McClane goes, two? Are you sure? And then it says, before Powell can answer, Robinson comes running up to him. Is that him? Yes, sir. Reaching for Powell's CB. Give me that. Angrily at McClane. Now listen to me, mister. I don't know what you think you're doing, but demolishing a building doesn't fall under the definition of help. There's hundreds of people out here, and you covered half of them in pieces of glass. And McClane then goes, glass? My ass. Who the f*** is this? This is Deputy Chief of Police Dwayne T. Robinson, and I'm in charge of this situation. McClane leans tiredly against the elevator door. Well, from up here, it looks like you're in charge of Dwayne. I haven't seen such a f***ed up operation since the Bride of Frankenstein. Ask the guys in the armored car if they minded a little flying glass. Listen, ass. And then McClane starts laughing. He goes, I'm not the one who just got butt-f***ed on national TV, Dwayne. Now, if you're not part of the solution, stop being part of the problem. Get off the goddamn radio and put Al back on. Because McClane is so furious, he's out of breath. And then they showed the limo, and it says Argyle nods in agreement. Tell him, Mr. Mack. Tell him. Now, I'm so glad they cut that out, part with Argyle. Because, you know, we just need to see him laugh. We didn't need anything beyond that. We don't need him to – and for him to say, tell him, Mr. Mack, tell him, it sounds like, you know, like a line that they would give a character in the 1930s.
Oh.
You know, it sounds very racist, basically, the way that it says – you know, to give the, you know, the limo driver.
Yeah.
This agreed. Type of
no, I totally know what you're saying.
That's pretty much all we have here on the script, but the way that's so it's some minor changes, but nothing major. You know, it's pretty much the same type of thing. So every Thursday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track Holiday Edition, where my guest will give a story or anecdote or anything about some sort of action that happened over the course of his or her life related to or taking part during some sort of holiday, maybe a vacation or something like that. So, Brian, you have another one for us?
Yeah, I do, but it's more like a PSA because so, you know, just so you guys are everybody.
And knowing is half the battle.
Exactly. The more you know. I grew up Catholic and I, you know, obviously celebrate Easter and you know, try to partake in Lent. And, you know, with Lent, you give something up for 40 days. And then on Easter, you get to, you know, if usually like as a kid, you give up candy for those 40 days. So you get a bunch of candy at Easter. And
I thought you would say you give up podcasting.
If only I could. It's too much of an addiction, but and I'd be too behind on editing anyway. So I probably could use a 40-day break. But anyways, I would say, you know, so I think it was only a few years ago I started. I don't know why this happened, but I ended up starting to question, or I learned something. Something made me go, wait a minute, the actual number of days between the start of Lent on like Ash Wednesday and the end of like Easter is more than 40 days. So I'm like, wait, what? The math isn't adding up. Well, Lent is 40 days, but if you know this, you have to subtract every Sunday. Sunday doesn't count for Lent. And I think somebody will have to, you know, I didn't bother to relook it up, so I'm telling accurate information. But I think Lent actually ends not on Easter, but on like Good Friday or, you know, whatever the Thursday is before it.
I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, it's so, and then those 3 days don't count either. Like Good Friday, like Holy Saturday, I think it's called, and then, you know, Easter Sunday, they don't count for Lent either. So like I think in total it's like 40, it's something like 46 days or something like that. Between like Ash Wednesday and actually, you know, Easter, but Lent is only 40 days. It's because you have to subtract the Sundays. So literally I'm like, you mean this whole time? Like if I gave up pizza, I could have had pizza on Sunday and I wouldn't go to hell. Like I didn't know that until I was, you know, until I was almost a man. And, you know, and at that point, I remember asking my mom, and my dad said he didn't know it. He was Catholic his whole life. And my mom's like, oh, yeah, I knew that. I'm like, well, why did you tell us? Like, why is this a secret? So there you go. Sundays don't.
Maybe on purpose.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. So we give up. So we didn't buy pizza on Sundays. No. So there you go. That was something I learned as a man, that Lent, the time between Ash Wednesday and Easter is actually more than 40 days. So there's some cheat days built in there already. So have at it.
All right. Very cool.
I'm going to hell for telling everybody this, I think.
Well, I'm a Jew. I don't believe in it anyway, so that's fine.
Yeah. There you go.
You are adding to my knowledge of it, because I never really thought about Lent, and I didn't know about 40 days, and I didn't know that it doesn't count on the weekend. So there you go. See, you at least have enlightened someone who doesn't care either way.
There you go. Nice.
No offense. All right, great. So you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you once again, Brian?
Yeah. Hamilton Shot by Shot, Marvel Events Timeline Podcast, and Marine Corps Movie Minute Podcast, that are all out there in podcast land. Simple Google search will find us, or find us on your favorite podcatcher.
All right. Excellent. And I think this is a perfect time to mention that we mentioned it earlier this week. Both Brian and I are part of the Movies by Minute community. And, you know, there's a website for Movies by Minute. It's moviesbyminute.com. You can go there and you can see that there are, as of recording, there are 224 Movies by Minute podcasts that are currently either going on or have already finished. And you can go there, you can listen to podcasts about some of your favorite movies. And as Jim always says, if you go there and you don't find the movie that you love, you can start your own podcast and join the rest of us crazy people as we talk about movies minute by minute. Finding me is very simple. Just do a search for Movie by Minute. You can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!